All right. So good morning and welcome, everyone. Today, we're going to do experiments, at least our half. Monday, it's the other's turn. And if anybody feels like it, we actually have this room and all the experiments all day. Some are going to come in the afternoon, and I will sit here in several meetings and doing other things also. But yeah. And what's the very purpose of this? The very purpose of this is that the course is applied statistics, which means take real data and analyze it. And today we want you to try to have real data and see all the troubles that comes with this. And the hope is that by the end of this whole project, you will have a written report where you have two different measurements of G, which rise a little above, hopefully, what you've done before, in that the uncertainties going into this are minimized and calculated and propagated correctly, and it all shines. Now, it sounds simple, it's just error propagation, but you will probably find on the way that there are a few hiccups. And all of this is to be handed in by mail to me on Sunday, the 13th of December, and it's to be written up in a report which sort of paper style report. And let me just begin by saying, you should focus on the data analysis. Assume that this is to the another group that also did the experiments. So they know the setup and they know what you were doing generally. You don't have to describe that in much detail. A drawing is nice. They don't know where you measured from and to, for example. You have to explain that. All right. Also, as a part of just general learning, we want you to be able to also read what others did. And for that reason, we've paired the groups so that you switch a report and then you each write feedback and then you switch back. Okay? That just gives you the chance to see what others did. Of course, grading will deal with that part. But you need to give feedback to another group. And then, yeah, what are we doing? Let me start sharing here. Yeah. So the project is about measuring G. I hope there's no surprises there. And we'll do it with a simple pendulum and a ball rolling down an incline. And just a little about maps and places. So in building M, there are three balls on inclines and three pendulums. So they will they should never come over here. And here we have six ball on incline and six pendulums that way out, out of the door there. We'll do a smart switch so that we go around that way. And the pendulums come in two formats, long and short. The long has the advantage that it's long and hence the relative error in measuring distance is small. And I have here also a laser measuring device, which you can click and point and get a measurement of, so you can do it in two ways. So that's the good thing about the long pendulum. It has several drawbacks. A, it's in a staircase, meaning you almost need to guard the pendulum while you do measurements because people will be running up and down and they can't see the fishing line. Okay? Secondly, they swing slower, meaning taking 25 measurements takes longer. And thirdly, measuring the length is actually not as easy as the other pendulums because all the other short ones we made shorter than 2 meters, meaning that a 2 meter folding rule will do the trick. Yep. We have a limited number of measuring devices. So this laser is only for the long ones, or at least they have priority in using it. And I should say now, and Julia, please listen, the pendulum in building M is tied to a hook where you need to stand on a chair to reach it. And well, I think it's 4 meters down on some stairs below. The only thing which is worse than everybody getting corona today is that do not fall down. If you're in building M, one person should stand up on a chair I put there, take a photo with a ruler next to while somebody or two persons holds that person And all four persons or five will be judging the length from the hook or from the ceiling to the hook with that photo. Yeah, just, I mean, it would stop the course if somebody falls down there, I suspect. So let's just keep that from happening. All right, on a happy note, back to the ball on incline. They're very alike, but it's not bad if you write which one you were by, and you can just say room, and if you're a center or, you know, north, south, some of them even have numbers. Just a small thing. And then going back here, well, for the pendulum, you need to measure the length and the period. And the length is to the mass center. And we have these sub-millimeter measuring devices for getting the pendulum size. I can say that the fishing line, we hung all the pendulums yesterday, so they had time to stretch. The more you yank them up and down, the more non-constant the fishing line length is going to be, just so that you don't yank them too much. Or at least you can do that, but, well, it's not going to serve you well. For the ball on incline measurement, you need to measure five things. You need to measure the acceleration. And then you might say, how do I measure the acceleration? Well, you measure the time and put it on the x-axis, and the distance and put it on the y-axis. And then you fit it with a parabola. Our assumption is it follows a parabola, but we can test that assumption, because if you have the uncertainty on the position, and notice I said position, not distance from gate 1 to 2, distance gate 2 to 3, because then they get correlated. Yeah, yeah. Now you know that you have to worry about these things. If you plot that, it should fit with a parabola, and you should get a good chi-square out. And the time you get from using the program waveform to read out, and it's just enough that one person in the group has waveform running, they connect, and once you see five peaks in time, you're good. Now notice these peaks are not Gaussian at all. They are at a bottom, then fast up, then at a top, and then faster even down, because the ball rolls faster going out than in. Now, where to measure the time? That's not an obvious thing. You can say, well, I have a bottom level and a top level. So when it passes the middle, well, should I use the front or the back? Well, how about a mean between the two? Maybe. Or maybe 50% is not the place, maybe 80 or 20%. And now we get into the systematics, right? You make a choice and you will see how much that changes your result. So that was the acceleration. Then there is the diameter of the ball and the distance between the rails. We have these skydelere in Danish. They have a technical name in English, of course. Calipers, thank you. And with those, you can get the rail distance and so on. That's easy. I have one very good here, which is to the 1/100 of a millimeter, which is my own one, which we can just pass around, play with. And then finally, you have to measure the angle. And the angle can be measured and should be measured in two ways. You can measure it with the goniometers. And for that, there is the usual small ones, in wooden blocks, but there's also in building M, a slightly larger with a bigger caliper, meaning more precise. And then down here, I bought one and had the machine shop make a black disc for behind, which is huge, I would say. And let those pass. And this is in general, let all devices pass as fast as you can between the groups, because we don't have enough for everyone. They disappear, unfortunately. I think we bought 20 of these, and this is the only one left. So sorry we don't have that, but just pass it around as much as you can. And then you need to measure, well, that was one way of measuring the angle. You can also measure it with Pythagoras, right? Height and length. And I know it's a little cumbersome because, well, there are wires and you can't measure from exact, but it's still more accurately than the goniometer. But the tables are not necessarily level. And that would be a systematic error Mistake not to include that. How can you get around that? Well, you can measure delta theta by turning the experiment 180 degrees. And you can measure it extremely accurately. Why? Because even if you measured the lengths wrong and the time in a bad way and the diameter of the ball, even if you have everything wrong, you have it wrong in the same way in the two measurements. And so to first order, it will cancel out. The only thing that changes is the timing. And I think you can set it to, for example, 50 kilohertz. And I think at 50 kilohertz, everything is slow here, right? It's not going to be the timing of the instrument that's bad or anything. So yeah, that's how you can measure that. And now comes the cross-checkers. Because once you've turned it around, you can do it with the goniometer again, right? And turn around and see, well, if delta theta has some value that I claim I can measure as accurately with the goniometer, I should see a difference when I turned it around. And finally, these. You can download levelers which measure to the 10th of a degree, at least they claim, but you're several in a group, and I'll bet you you're several cell phones in a group. With that, you can also measure it. Do all the cross checks and see that you get the same angle. And I don't think I'm revealing too much. When you did the error propagation on this and did how well can I measure these different things, I hope you agreed that it was the angle that was the limiting factor. Okay, and then there's the measurement situation. If one person measures one thing without an error, you're in principle fucked because you can't know what the uncertainty is. You have nothing to propagate, and it's a number without meaning, you could almost say. However, if you measure it, at least estimate an uncertainty, like you did with the table, it's not very good to do it by estimate, but it's better than nothing. Top right corner over here, that's a good situation. And that's probably where you'll end up mostly today. Namely, you do four measurements or however many you're in a group, and then you combine those in a mean and standard deviation. And then you remember the n minus one and all of these things because you're not that many. And then in the end, you get an uncertainty on the mean. Remember the difference. The standard deviation is not the uncertainty on the mean, it's the uncertainty on each single measurement. But you did a lot of them, so it got better. Yeah, and then in the end, if you're really good, then you estimate your uncertainty here, also with a measurement, and you combine them in a weighted mean and do a chi-square and check that they actually agree. And if you measure things to full degree and full millimeter, I will bet you that you will have situations where you have four of the same measurement. And then it doesn't work that well. So try to read things off to 10th of a millimeter and 10th of a degree. I don't believe that you can do that to some extent, but that doesn't matter. That allows you to see the variation you get between your measurements more accurately. I want you to see differences, right? For the rail distance and the ball, the variations are so tiny with the caliper that, yeah, just so that you don't spend too much time there. And then for the ball on incline, I've seen people roll it down actually 100 times. And think, what do you improve on when you roll it down 100 times? Well, if you each time redid the positional measurement, then you might improve things. But you're not, right? You're using the same positions. So you're not getting 100 measurements of the acceleration, which are uncorrelated, right? You're only testing the timing. The only thing that changes. So, well, I'll do it two or three times, but I think that's enough. There are also different ball sizes, which, yeah, you can play around with. And do we agree that in principle, it should not depend on the ball size? Well, let's see in practice. Welcome to test. There are more balls at the end of various materials and lengths and so on. All right. We have already committed this line of thinking. So for the pendulum, it's just the length and the time. Now, don't swing the pendulum too largely. A, because for the long pendulums, it might hit the staircase, and then you certainly don't get G. You get something very periodic, but you don't get G. Secondly, if you swing it too wildly, then the sine theta equals theta does not hold up, and the whole formula breaks down. You can evaluate the size of that. For the ball and incline, we discussed that. Oh yeah, one thing for the pendulum. You measure many times during the lap time. So you need to download the, or do it whatever way you want, measure the time. But we would like, if you're four persons in a group, we would like to know how good each of you are at stopping the damn thing. How do you get that? Well, you fit a line and the slope of the line is the timing, but what's your uncertainty? Well, when you fit the line, you can plot all the so-called residuals, namely the data point minus the line. When you plot that, you should get something that's Gaussian, and the standard deviation of that is what your individual measurement has as an uncertainty. Now put that back in on the points and fit the line again. And now the uncertainty that comes out in the line fit gives you the uncertainty on the period. All right, now you put in the right error, then it will give out the right error at the other end. And then you might be surprised, wow, my chi-square is good. Yeah, it is so by construction, right? Because you adjusted all your errors to be the jitter around. So yeah, there's not much gained there. Well, that's not a check. We discussed this already. And cross checks are good. We discussed that as well. And that is mostly for the angle, I would say. That's where the cross checks sort of come in. For the length measurement, the long pendulums can also do it in two ways, but yeah. Discussion of angle, that's enough. Note on delta theta, well, here's how you can extract it. Report on content. You should be able to write something, or you should write something that is reproducible by your fellow students. And reproducible also means that they can reproduce your calculations and see how you got your result. They can only do so if they actually have your measurements. So in the appendix, you can throw back a ton of small tables with all your measurements. But in the end, you should have a table in the main text, which says, we measured as a group the length to be this with this uncertainty, and the impact on G is this. We measured the period to be this, the impact on this, and the final pendulum measurement is. And that is what goes in the abstract. The abstract is 8 to 10 lines, which imagine somebody looking for information, is searching, and they want to know if they need to read your paper. Most likely they're looking for your results. So there's nothing, it's not a story where you hold back the ending of it. No, you put everything of importance in the abstract, in a very short abstract. And since this is a small paper, 6 lines is also okay. Any questions? And I think we should start on Zoom.
I have a comment. In both labs, there is a new box of sanitizing wipes. Please sanitize your table before leaving the lab. And also please use hand sanitizer before touching stuff in the lab, if possible.
Yeah. So that is for sanitizing anything and also when we leave. And by 10 o'clock, we should sort of start packing things together. And by 10:15 is when the switch is foreseen. But actually, given that we started slightly late, I think we will actually do it by, we will not do anything before 10:15. And between 10:15 and 10:30 is the switch. Yeah, cool. Any other questions or comments or so on? We'll be around and I'll occasionally jump around to the other rooms, but otherwise it's the four of us in 4 different places. And yeah, we'll have to do the best with what we have. And then finally, Repeating again, this is not an exercise in getting G most accurately. This is an exercise in doing the data analysis in the correct manner. Of course, getting a small error is not bad, but don't feel bad if you don't hit G. I've missed it many times.
Tools, quick question.
Yeah.
I have 6 groups in here, so I have 2 going to the long pendulums in K. Are there 4 pendulums in first lab?
Not in first lab, but in the extension of first lab, the long hallway.
Yes. Okay, just checking that that algebra makes sense.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Cool. All right, and I repeat those going to the long pendulum in M. Yep. I think that is it. Let's begin. I don't know.